Hello, my friends. Thank you for joining me on this first Nightwatch album. Come with me for a stroll down all the paths of terror. Join me for a walk through horror and fantasy and an orgy of fear. I do hope you enjoy yourselves on the Nightwatch.
Welcome to the History of Comics, The Short Runs. My name is Dan Oakes, and I'm a comic book collector from St. Louis, Missouri. We made it 3 episodes. One more episode in this season, and then we'll take a short break. But this episode up, we will be exploring the 1982 comic series from DC Comics called Night Force. So who are we talking about today? When comics writer Marv Wolfman left Marvel Comics in 1980 to join DC Comics, it wasn't long before artist Gene Colan also left Marvel and joined Marv at DC Comics. One of the great series Marv and Gene worked on at Marvel Comics was the series Tomb of Dracula. The series ran for 9 years and produced over 70 comics. So when Gene Colan arrived at DC, it didn't take long for the two of them to begin working on a series. The series they developed was a long-form horror series called Night Force. There have been a couple volumes of Night Force for DC Comics. Today, we will be exploring the first Night Force series that debuted in issue 21 of the new Teen Titans comic, and that led into a 14-issue run of the Night Force comic, starting in 1982. Night Force developed more as a concept idea rather than an actual person or team. The original idea developed when Marv and Gene decided to have the main character, Baron Winters, a mysterious individual with magical knowledge and possibly magical powers, formulate a team of individuals based on the needs or a crisis at hand. Marv described the premise of the comic in an essay on the last page of the first issue.
The Night Force is about people caught up in the moment of horror. We are about people with a mission. We are also about people caught up in a grand adventure. We are about people facing their own fears, but we are mainly about people. The Night Force is something different in comics. For many years, horror comics primarily contained short shocker stories with twisted endings. Characters came and went in 6 to 8 pages. The shocks were cute, but at times repetitive.
So where did I first come across this comic book? I've mentioned before that I started collecting comics in 1983 after inheriting my cousin's comic collection. My brother and I got a box of comics, which contained a mixed bag of Marvel and DC comics, mostly from the late 70s and early 80s. There were issues of Flash, Avengers, Thor, Iron Man, and that seemed to be the bulk of the collection. But there was also a run of random issues, such as an issue of Swamp Thing. There was a Hulk and Quasimodo team-up, there was an issue of Shazam, and then there was the first issue of Night Force. I didn't know much about comics, but I knew that first issues were considered important issues to have in a collection. I may have flipped through the issue, but if I had tried to read it, I would have probably been discouraged. It wasn't a superhero comic, and the topic was probably way over my head as a 10-year-old. The first issue stayed in the box and sat there for a long time. It was the only issue of the Night Force series that I had for many years. Then, in 2019, I started getting back into comics in a more serious way. I was back to being a Wednesday warrior, showing up at my local comic shop, picking up the weekly issues of Batman, X-Men, pretty much all the main titles of DC and Marvel. I also started filling out my back issues. I found a small comic shop with a huge inventory of dollar books and started finding missing issues of titles in my collection. I came across the full run of Night Force in one trip and grabbed them all, feeling like I had hit the motherlode. I had read the first issue a couple years ago, and frankly, it didn't grab me. This past week, I sat down and researched the series and started reading it again. Once I realized the angle that the comic was going, I adjusted my approach and have enjoyed reading through all 14 issues. The basic information regarding this comic is that the first issue of Night Force has a cover date of August 1982. It is considered to be in the Bronze Age of comics. And just as a reminder, the Bronze Age runs from 1970 to 1983, and the main characteristic of this age of comics is that there's an attention to realism, and the Comics Code authority begins to loosen up, and so there's less censoring going on in the comic books. There are 14 issues in this series, and each comic runs at about 26 pages. The creative team of this comic consisted of its creators, Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan, but it also consisted of a colorist, a letterer, and an inker. For those roles, the team essentially stayed the same for all 14 issues, with some slight variations. Michelle Wolfman was the colorist, Todd Klein was the letterer, and Bob Smith was the inker for the majority of the issues. There are a few exceptions where others filled in for those roles, but Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan stayed consistent throughout the whole series. The comics themselves are typical of the late Bronze Age. They have the nice glossy cover with very good colors, and on the interiors, the paper is newsprint, and they typically have very good colors, but not quite as shiny and articulate as a modern-day comic book. The cover price for the first issue is 60 cents, and that stays consistent for all 14 issues. So where does this comic series fit in the larger comic world? DC Comics struck gold, whether they realize it or not, when Marv Wolfman came over to DC Comics from Marvel Comics. During this time, Marv was writing for the new Teen Titans, and this was a title that was extremely successful for DC Comics. And in some ways, it was almost running head-to-head with the success of Uncanny X-Men in the Marvel Comics world. When Gene Colan ended up coming over to DC Comics, the two had this great history of working on the comic book for Marvel called Tomb of Dracula. This series ran for 70 issues and had other appearances as well. This was a particular time in Marvel and in DC where these two comic book companies started to push out a lot of titles that would be considered supernatural or horror comics. Tomb of Dracula was probably the longest running at that time period. There were other titles that ran for far less time, things like supernatural thrillers with the Living Mummy, Werewolf by Night, and Son of Satan. These titles ran for such a short period of time and were eventually cut, but Marvel had put forth a gallant effort to have these characters take off. It didn't seem like these characters were going to be successful like they wanted them to. And in fact, in part of the essay that Marv Wolfman writes at the end of Night Force, he makes such a point to have these horror comics become popular again. So in the first issue of Night Force, the series starts off with a story that is going to span 7.5 issues of the comic. The story opens with two agents driving along a bridge at night in Arlington, Virginia. We are unclear as to where they are going. A helicopter comes down, and a sniper fires into the car, killing both of the agents. And the car goes off the bridge into the water. The scene changes to a psychiatric hospital, where we meet one of the main characters of this story arc, Vanessa Van Helsing. She is being treated at the facility and is having hallucinations of demons. There is another scene change where the reader is introduced to Jack Gold. He is a reporter for the National Chronicle. He arrives at the house of a character named Baron Winters, who is this mysterious individual that lives in an old mansion and has a cheetah named Merlin. As the issue develops, we meet the last two main characters, Dr. Donovan Kane and his wife, Marianne Kane. Donovan Kane is a professor of parapsychology. The issue ends with the Baron discussing his plan to bring these individuals together, calling them the Night Force, or rather agents of the Night Force. Issue 2 does not have a recap of any of the events of Issue 1. This will be something that continues through each of the issues for all 14. Donovan has gotten Vanessa Van Helsing to participate in a ritual for his parapsychology research. Others are involved in the ritual as well. The story advances, and we see how the characters, seemingly unrelated, begin to have common goals. Something goes wrong, and something unexpected occurs. This issue ends with a tragic event, and we begin to get a better idea of the main characters and their motivations. Issue 3 opens with Baron Winters in his house, rethinking his strategy given the tragic events of Issue 2. Jack and Donovan team up and travel overseas, and the issue ends with a cliffhanger for Jack and Donovan. In Issue 4, the same two characters, Jack and Donovan, are stuck in a body of water as hired hitmen shoot at them. Vanessa has been kidnapped and is flown off to Russia, where a secret group knows she has some type of occult power. Back in the States, a local detective named Elliot Short begins to investigate Vanessa's disappearance and visits Baron Winters. The detective believes that the Baron is involved in Vanessa's kidnapping. Jack and Donovan pursue the clues of Vanessa's kidnapping, but they miss her as the secret group transports Vanessa to another location inside Russia. In Issue 5, Vanessa is taken to a base in the middle of nowhere. The doctors continue their experiments on her without her consent. Eventually, Jack and Donovan find the base. The Baron continues to evade the police inquiry into the suspected involvement of Vanessa's kidnapping. Then in Issue 6, Jack and Donovan continue with their efforts to rescue Vanessa. Baron Winters meets with the detective, and there's this weird time travel kind of thing that occurs. Then in Issue 7, we start to see the story wrap up, which is interesting because when the story wraps up at the end of Issue 8, you think it's the end of the story, but no, it's not. These are comic books, and this is what comic books do. This is one of the strangest things I've read in a comic book series ever. So in Issue 8, the first half of the issue is just the wrap-up of this 7-issue story that has occurred with Baron Winters, Vanessa, Donovan, and Jack. But the story stops in the middle of the issue, and then Marv Wolfman and Gene Colan start a brand new story in the second half of this comic. And the second half of the story has nothing to do with the previous 7 issues. It is a fresh start that happens in the middle of a comic book. Have I said that this is weird? The second half story seems to be a story that is very Twilight Zone. A man gets trapped in a brownstone in New York City and he can't get out. And this alien has taken over the brownstone and has forced all of the residents in the building to be stuck there. But the catch is that this alien provides everything that they need within the brownstone. They just can't leave. And eventually, the characters within the brownstone that the alien has trapped there begin to go crazy. And this outside person actually makes it into the house, the brownstone, and then he realizes he has become stuck. And so this story goes on for about 3 issues. And in issue 11, a new four-issue story begins. The Baron is once again working on a case that involves some evil occurrence, and this issue involves Adolf Hitler. Vanessa and Jack also make a reappearance in this four-issue story as well. In issue 12, that story arc continues. In issue 13, while the story arc continues, the cover states that this issue is the origin story of the Baron. We get some flashbacks of the Baron's life, but I'm not so sure I would call this an origin story. We basically get two or three scenes of things that have happened to him in the past. That's not exactly what I would call an origin story. And then 14, the last issue, it wraps up that four-issue story arc and ends with an ending that leaves the series open for future stories. That covers all 14 issues of the entire series. There are no related characters or tie-ins to other storylines. I have not found any other continuation of this particular storyline, except there are two other additional Night Force series that I have not read. There doesn't seem to be a crossover. The concept of the Night Force carries on, but I'm not so sure that the characters do. If anything, this Night Force series from 1982 seems to be a continuation of the themes that were in Tomb of Dracula. There are no key issues. My CLZ app doesn't even consider the first issue to be a key issue. That is rare. Typically, the CLZ app will identify the first issue in any series as a key issue. Not the case in this one. For all practical purposes, this feels like a really good 1970s Marvel comic. It does not feel like a 1980s DC comic. It foregoes the format of storytelling in the comics at that time. There isn't a synopsis at the start of each issue from the previous issue. There are different storylines that range from 7 issues to 3 issues to 4 issues. Very few characters reappear or carry over. It could easily be considered more like a novel in its storytelling approach than a comic book. If you're looking to read this, you can find this both digitally and physically. It is on the DC Infinite app as of 2024, but it is currently only as an Ultra subscriber, which is the next tier up for the DC app. There is currently a trade in physical form that combines all 14 issues, and you can pick that up on Amazon. For me, I found all 14 issues in the dollar bins. I was at a comic convention today, and I was looking through dollar bins, and I came across multiple issues of Night Force. This is not a hard comic book to find, which surprises me because Tomb of Dracula, it is really hard to find used for cheap. Those books are expensive. Why might you want to add this to your collection? If you liked or had any affection for the Marv Wolf Gene Colan work in Tomb of Dracula, I think you'll like this. I've read a few issues of Tomb of Dracula, and to me it seems like an extension of that series. If you like supernatural series with occult overtones, like those from the 70s and the 80s, this fits right in there. If you like comics that stray from superhero tropes, this is also something that you may like. You have been listening to the History of Comics, The Short Runs, and I'm Dan Oakes. So next episode, be our last episode of the season. Our next series is a DC series, and this comes from the DC Elseworld. If you don't know what DC Elseworld is, it's basically a story that is set outside normal continuity. And so we'll be reading Batman Nevermore. The story takes place during the early 1800s. It involves Batman and Edgar Allan Poe solving a series of mysteries. Big thanks to all those that helped out behind the scenes with today's production, all of the staff at Center Neptune Studios, our legal team, Dewey, Cheatham, and Howe, Big Jake from State Farm, but not from State Farm, for the artwork, and Waterleaf Frog for the theme music. Distribution through WLF Publications.